situation is unique. You can never generalize. So let's present another shayla. It's a very interesting shayla. It opens up many, many halachic issues. Here was the case, a very interesting case. A boy is dating a girl. Very nice girl, he's very excited. Comes from a very chashuv family. His father is a kohen. This boy, I guess you would imagine, the way it's presented, he must be his 20s, I would imagine. And he's a kohen. And he has always gotten the first aliyah. He has duchened his entire youth. And everything is cruising along very, very nicely. Someone is going with this girl, and they're basically they're already engaged or they're just about to get engaged. And then suddenly, the shidduch is about to take place, and the boy finds out that this girl is a geyrus. Okay, he finds out that the girl is a geyrus, girl is a geyrus. The girl was. He finds out he's dating this girl, and he's a kohen. He is a kohen. A kohen is not allowed to marry a geyrus. And he's dating this girl. Now, it doesn't tell you anything. All these stories, they don't tell you all the gory details. But he's this is a boy who comes from a family that is has a reputation, a very distinguished family. The family are Kohanim. The father is a Kohen. The boy has been duchening. The boy has been behaving like a Kohen all the years. No one even thought otherwise. Everything was fine. And now he's dating. And then they discover that the family are converts. The girl converted, the parents converted many, many years ago, and I guess the girl was also converted after she was 3 years old. So the law is, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geyores if the girl converted after 3 years of age. That's the halacha, that's the way it is. Okay, we're not here coming to debate the halacha, that is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, there's no room to budge.
But if she was adopted at birth, it's okay?
I don't know the answer in detail. I could be this.
It's under 3 years old. That's what
I'm under three. I think you're under 3 years old and it's fine. If I'm not mistaken, under 3 years old and it's fine, only if she converted after she was 3 years old.
Right.
And there is no room to debate. That's the halach. Okay, so the boy finds this out. He's about to get engaged to her. And by the way, this boy has a brother. Okay, he has a brother. And the boy is hurt. He's very, very disappointed that the girl of his dreams has revealed that she really is a convert. And he would never know. You know, it's such a nice family. Everything seems so good. Everything's so fine. And he's in a lot of pain. That the girl that he wanted to marry, he can't marry because he is a kohen and she is a geyrus. The father, the mother of the son, she sees how painful this is for her son, the disappointment of discovering that she is a geyores and he can't marry her. So the mother says, let me tell you a secret.
She's also a geyores.
No, that would be interesting. That's not the case. Every case is different. But let me tell you a secret. The person who you think is your father is not your father. Now, that does not mean that you are a mamzer, because there was a mamzer, that would be even worse. Right. It means we tried to have children for many years, and they didn't go. We went to doctors, and they revealed to us that your father, my husband, the one who you think is your father, the Kohen cannot have children. The problem was with him. Okay, he was not able to have children. So we relied upon the Psak of Rav Moshe, which is very Pshas Hatrak, IVF, where they take sperm from a sperm bank. Okay, this is a very controversial Psak. I don't know if it's so controversial, but this is the Psak. During the Kena, okay, the Satmar went berserk over this, okay, they went crazy over this. But Rav Moshe Paskin, that in unusual circumstances, a person, a woman, okay, you have to know all the details. Don't get carried away with any little every single detail of what exactly what the story was. where they take sperm from a sperm bank, which is from a goy, basically from a goy, and they put the sperm in the rechem of the mother, and she has a child.
It has to be a goy sperm, though.
Yes, it has to be a goy.
There's no question.
It doesn't have to be, but it definitely should be a goy. Okay, it should be a goy. That solves a lot of problems. It should be a goy. They take from a sperm bank. We assume that the majority of what is present is from goyim, non-Jews, and there are laws. It's very complicated. Every country is different how all of this works. I don't know the details, but they take from a goy. You don't even know who your father is. And she became pregnant, and she had him, and they did the same thing a second time to have her brother. So the one who you think is your father is not really your father. You are called what will be called a shtuki. Right. What's a shtuki? A shtuki means you know who your mother is, but you do not know who your father is. That's a halachic principle. If you know who the mother is, a shtuki and an asufe. An asufe is someone drops off a baby at the fire department. At the fire department, you drop off a baby, here's the baby, you do not know who the mother is, you do not know who the father is. Then there's something called a shtuki. A shtuki is shtuki means to be quiet. When the kid says, dada, 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 you quiet him. No, 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 no. He's not your dada. He's not your daddy. We don't know who your daddy is because you were conceived from sperm in a sperm bank, but we know who the mother is. The mother is a Jewish woman. She's a Jewish woman. We know who the mother is. Is he a mamzer? He's not a mamzer. That's the chiddush of Rav Moshe. The chiddush of Rav Moshe, this is not, even though she's an eshes ish, she is a married woman. She's married. And she's having a child from Zera that's not her husband. Tremendous chiddush. Not a Gemara. There's no Gemaras on this. Ambate. Ambate. Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So he's saying right. Yirmiyahu HaNavi. How is Yirmiyahu HaNavi conceived? His mother took to a bathhouse. A bathhouse. And in the bathhouse, there was Zera from a male who went into the bathhouse before she was there, and somehow that Zera wound up in her rachem and she became pregnant.
So you say Ben Sir also?
Ben Sir also. Okay, artificial, this is IVF, ancient IVF. Today it's very hard to understand how that works, because today it does not seem that the person would go to a bathhouse and would eject Zera and someone would come in, it would be possible. What?
Because people get IVF and they have twins, one's black and one's white, because they didn't clean.
They use two different. They do different techniques. They're, obviously, the technology is beyond our whatever it is. I don't know. Let's just talk this mice.
That's why the Jewish organizations have mashgichim.
Mashgichim poor. Mashgichim, but they have a mashgichim not really for this. The mashgichim is where it's the husband and the wife.
Most even with the husband and wife.
Right, but that's not with the husband and the wife because then it's possible. Well, then with the sperm bank, it doesn't really make a difference. Because it's coming from a goy anyway. The sperm bank, what do you need a hashgacha for? Who cares? What?
If you know. You're sure it came from a goy?
Well.
We're going by wife.
You go by wife. When you're taking sperm from a bank, then there's hashgacha for certain things. But what when they really want a hashgacha 100% is when the zera is from the father, from the husband. And the conception process, the conception process is the issue, but the father can have children and the mother can have children. So I'm assuming that most situations of IVF today, the vast majority, certainly among the Hasidim, so the vast majority of IVF today is where they take Zera from the husband and they position it in the rechem of the mother. So then you want Hashkacha. There's a process of retrieving the zera from the father, and it has to be prepared, and I guess worked up, whatever they do, and do the process. Every step of that way, you want there to be supervision, so they should not take a zera from another Jewish man who's going through the same process in the hospital with his wife. But when you're taking zera from a bank, a sperm bank, okay, it's also good to have hashgacha. Nothing, everything should go kedas uchadin, 100%. But the main thing that you hear about these organizations called Pua, there's an organization called Pua where everyone knows this One Life, and there is all these organizations that deal with these issues. That's right. They have hashkacha, and it's very great expense to it already is very expensive. They have to go to add to all of these things the extra layer of rabbinical supervision. Certainly just makes things more complicated, but it's done. Okay, let's go back to our Shaila at hand. This woman, this boy, who thought his father is a Kohen, he found a girl, the girl of his dreams, as he describes it over here in the book, and he was severely disappointed that when he discovered that she is a Giyaris and he is being a Kohen, is not a Giyaris, his mother saw the disappointment, and she decided to come to the rescue. She took one for the team, and she told her son, don't worry, you can marry her. You're not really a Kohen, because we were unable to have children, and you were conceived from a zera, from a sperm bank.
So the father let the boy think he was a Kohen, let him do everything.
That's right, that's part of the problem. And the father did shaloi kedin.
That's allowed? No.
No, it's not allowed. It's not allowed, exactly, it's not allowed. It is not allowed.
You have another tzad here.
Wait, let's get this. So let me just say, let's get the case. So appreciate the psak of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is an incredible psak. The woman is an eshes ish, and she is having a child not from her husband. The first red flag, the first thing, mamzer. Everyone agrees in the halacha that if you have a woman who is an eshes ish and has a child from another man, that means the child is a mamzer. Rav Moshe is machadish. The child's not a mamzer, because in order to become a mamzer, it has to be a maisa bia. It has to be a natural act of conception.
It's also she that has to be maisa issa.
She has to do something.
A
woman is not called a maisa. A woman is karka oilam. A woman in halacha it's never considered to be a maisa. Generally, Esther said hashavati avodati. Esther did consider herself to be doing a maisa by initiation, grama. Okay, this is not our topic. Okay, this is all over my head. This is heavy, heavy stuff. This is like the biggest of the big deal with these type of things. But Moshe's psak is the child's not a mamzer, and it is mutter in certain circumstances, it's mutter. Therefore, we have over here a child. There were two brothers that were conceived this way, what she said. Both of you were conceived this way. And therefore, your father is a goy. You're Jewish.
Basically, they're not Kahana.
You're Jewish because I'm Jewish. The yichus of being a Jew follows the mother. You were born through me. You are Jewish. No question about that. But your father is not a Jew. Your father is a goy. So you're in the category called an asufe. No big deal. An asufe can marry a regular Yisrael. An asufe can marry a giyores. And therefore, proceed with marrying this girl. Because you are permitted to marry this girl. Your father is non-Jewish, your mother is Jewish, this girl is a convert, and Asufi is permitted l'chatchila to marry a Giyaris. Case closed. So they go to the rabbi. Question is do we believe the mother? Do we believe her?
Well, what's the father saying?
Oh, excellent. Excellent question. That's also, let's just take it at face value. Let's say the story would stop right there.
Make it public. Call it.
Okay, let's make believe for the moment now. The story would stop right there. The mother then says to the son, get married. I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened. And go get married. Have a nice day. I'm going on vacation to Florida. I'm not going to talk to you anymore until the wedding. Just based upon what the mother told the son, is he allowed to proceed with this wedding? Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not.
Why?
Oh, what was the Shulchan Aruch? A mother is not neman to tell us the yichus of her child. This comes from a sugya called Yakir. It says in the Torah, if a person has two children, it's a sugya that a person is about to die, and he has two children. And he says, I want to tell everyone, the Bechor, this one is the Bechor. Let's say no one knows. They come to a new city, you come with two children. No one really knows who's older, who's younger. And now he's about to die. He's a multimillionaire. One of them is going to get pishnayim. It's money. Money. There's money here. And one is the Bechor, one is not a Bechor. I want everyone to know, this one is the Bechor. and a little kid is a midget, and the other one is a big, tall guy, and he looks like he's 20 years old, and the other one, he goes, no, don't be deceived by looks. The one that looks younger, he's the real Bechor. It's a gezeiros hakosev ki es ben hasenua ki ben hasenua yakir. He is the one that has the power to recognize, to define. That's vizehu. No one else is nema. I'll give you a modern day example of this principle in an entirely different form, which I told you many times. It, to me, was an utter shock, and it's anyway not nogeya bizman hazeh. And maybe you remember years ago there was a custom which no one does anymore. A boy who has no father would put on tefillin when he was 12 years old.
Right.
You remember such a thing?
Yeah, I experienced it one time.
Really?
In Shiva.
I never saw this, Baruch Hashem. I never saw this, but people tell me, Mr. Glatter told me he remembers this. And Rabbi Yossi said, it used to be, years ago, a boy
who
has no father, the minhag Yisrael for generations, a yosoim puts on tefillin when he's 12 years old. A regular bar mitzvah boy, different minhagim. Most people I know, they put on a month before, 30 days before. Some put on 3 days before. Some put on bo bayim for their own bar mitzvah. Some, the German Jews, 2 months, 3 months. I had some friends who were yekes. They put on, even right now, a bar mitzvah, this Peir Shabbos. The boy put on till 3 months ago. The yekes, 3 months ago. But a yosem, rachmanu litzlan, a year. What? Why in the world would a yosam put on tefillin a year? So people tell me, he matures early, all these very nice answers, because a yosam has no father, he matures early because of the responsibility, all these very answers. I came across in the sefer the real answer, Because it used to be, years ago, there was no such thing as a birth certificate. Ask Obama. It used to be there was no such thing as a birth certificate.
Especially if you're born in Kenya.
Okay? Especially born in Kenya. Or you're born in Hawaii, you just pay a few dollars, you can get a birth certificate. It used to be, you just buy, you order online, whenever you want, wherever you want. It used to be such a thing. So when someone says to the rabbi, you know, we're making a bar mitzvah next week. Really? Making a bar mitzvah? Who? This is your son? How old is he? Well, he's going to be 13 years old. Prove it. Prove it. To me, he looks more like 11 years old. You know, there's a very big gevir here that wants to make a simcha. You're going to shter his simcha because with your bar mitzvah, someone's making an ofruf. They don't want you to shter the ofruf with your bar mitzvah. How do you know this kid is 13 years old? Prove it. I'm his father. The Torah says, ki ben hasenua yakir. The only one, it's in Shulchan Aruch, the father has full rights to tell you exactly who their child is with all the trimmings, how old they are. But let's say there is no father. How do you know how old you are? You're telling me you're 13 years old? Who says? Maybe you're 12 years old. Maybe you're 12 enough. Maybe you're already 14 years old. How do you know? Who says? My mother says. Your mother is not believed. An Isha is not believed. Sorry.
She brings documentation and it's okay.
Documentation? Well, years ago, I'm telling you where the minute started. That's why it's...
Is this still Bizman Hazeh?
No. It's not Bizman Hazeh, is it? Exactly. Years ago, let's go back 100 years ago, let's go back 200 years ago, there was no documentation.
Sure.
A baby was born, that he's born in the house. Who's keeping records? You're going to go look him up online 200 years ago? You're going to go look for medical records? There's no, they're born in the house.
Right.
There's no record. No one knows. The only one that is neman to say a bar mitzvah boy is 13 years old is a father. If there is no father, how do we know? Because, Taka, we don't know, we are machmir, and a boy who claims he's even 12 years old, you say you're 12. You know, you might really be 13, because we have no way of knowing. Once you reach the age of 12, 13, they all look alike. You can't really tell. So a boy 12 years old puts on tefillin.
Was this practiced?
Yes, it was.
Rabbi Mayeski, during the war, a child could have been born before the war. It's hidden away somewhere. Then came here.
Yes, it's proud. Rabbi Mayeski remembers this. Rabbi Mayeski says he remembers this. There are people, the old timers, you talk to some of the old timers and they'll tell you, I remember these stories. Where a yosoim put on until he was 12 years old. Today it's not relevant, because today every single boy, there are medical records. Every boy that's born, they have the records. And we live in a different type of world today where we know everything is recorded. So today, you know exactly how old the kid is. So you, no one does. Today it's unheard of. You tell them something, they look at you like you're from Mars. What are you talking about? Never heard such a thing before. Because today, for the last 50 years, no one ever did this. That's the way it is today. But it just goes to illustrate the point I'm trying to make is, in the world of halacha, and we're not familiar with these type of concepts. Only one that is neman is a father, not a mother. The mother has no neman. The mother is neman for 7 days, benogea other things. After bris mila passes, forget it, she's out of the picture. Like the tzuraita from Rav Moshe, under the chuppah, the mother said to Rav Moshe, the child is a mamzer. The person who he thinks his father is not his father, I'm an eshes ish, I was mizane, and this child was born in a natural act of znus with another man that's not, is not my husband, and he was conceived, and I never born him in an abortion clinic, and this is him, and he's getting married, he's a mamzer, he's not allowed to marry this girl is not allowed to marry him. Rav Moshe says, have a nice day. The wedding proceeds. You're not believed. You're not neman. I don't want to hear any of this nonsense. You're not neman. That's the halacha. That's the halacha in this ma'isa so far. Let's go one thing at a time. This person, this boy, he meets a girl. He wants to get engaged to her. He discovers at this late stage in the game that she's a giyaris. He's a kohen. I know this. I know this. I have someone in my family who's a kohen. He told me mamish the story. Okay, he told me this story that he was dating a girl. He was dating a girl. She was a gerusha. He didn't even know this. Unfortunately, he's a ben Torah. He's a different type. He's a different type of person. But he's having a hard time with shidduchim. And he went to a singles event, and he met a girl, and he went out with her a few times, and then he found out very quickly that she was married for a short period of time, I guess she didn't cover her here. Not everyone has some different opinions about that. A woman gets divorced right away if she has to cover her here, whatever the story is. And he really seemed to like her. And it would have been a big simcha because he was having a very hard time in Shidduchim. And then someone said, she's a grusha. You're a kohen. You can't marry her. And his expression was, what? Really? Really? He was so disappointed. It happens. These things happen. You'd be shocked, even amongst, things.
It
things just.
In West Hempstead, less than 15 years ago, of course, it was my brother, my boss's sister-in-law, who had chalitza, was going out with a kohen.
Chalitza.
And she's not a divorcee. She's an
uncle. Chalitza. Right.
Nobody thought about it.
No, the chalitza.
When he found out, he went over to the guy and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "She had chalitza."
It happens.
Yeah.
So the mother said to him, listen, it's no big deal. I'm telling you a secret. You were born. We couldn't have children. And believe me, the halacha is clear as day. In this case, the boy, the mother is not believed. What she says is unacceptable. He may not marry her. He can continue duchening. He can continue getting the first aliyah. Her word is not accepted one bit. That would be the halacha. That's all we have in front of us. That's the only. If that would be the only evidence. The only evidence is, I'm telling you, we went to a doctor, your husband, your father can't have children. We went to a sperm bank, a Moshe Psak, and you
can see
through.
They can check DNA.
Wait. We're getting one thing at a time. If this would be the only piece of information, forget it. Now, it gets more complicated. They call in
during the year, did the couple have relations?
Yes.
So you're basing your decision, it depends on how they did the IVF, but you're basing your decision that...
Roy Vila Sachar Habal.
Right, so then...
Okay, so right. I told you. What did I tell you so far? I told you so far. We don't need even to come on to what you said.
Okay.
To disqualify it, because just off the bat, one step at a time to appreciate the issues. Off the bat, a mother is not believed. The zehu. The mother is not believed. Finish.
Even if she says she had believers, how does she know which one was Tayfish?
She's a mother. She wasn't able to have children.
I told you, we don't need, you're right. We don't need to come on to that. We don't need to come on to anything more than the basic halacha. A basic halacha, it's very shocking for many people to hear this basic halacha. A mother is not neman to testify, to change the presumption. in this, in the presumption. The presumption is he is a Kohen. Her husband is a Kohen. He has duchen in shul. He gets the first aliyah. He is assumed, he doesn't go to cemeteries. Everyone knows that he's a Kohen. And the mother is now making a statement. She's making a statement, you're not a Kohen. You're not a Kohen because I conceive you through IVF, through a sperm bank. If that's all that we would have in front of us, if that would be the only bit of information, the mother at that moment in time would just disappear. The mother is not Neman. Because that's the halacha. A woman is not believed to change. The only one that is Neman is a father because of the din of Yakir. Yakir. Ki ben hasenua Yakir. But a mother is no Ne'emanis. Therefore, the child would not at this moment in time be believed to be believed. The mother would not believe the child cannot marry this Giyaris. But the case goes further.
And how do we know she's a Giyaris?
What? That we know for sure. That you're right, every situation is different. That we know for sure. We have no Shiloh, this is the case. Okay. We have all the documents, we call him the Bezdin, whom he was Megayah her. We have all the, that's not our Shiloh. Now, the case is not over yet. So they call in the father. And the father says, whatever your mother says is true. The father now says, you're not my child. You're not my child. Which true, we went to the doctor. And the doctor and the doctor and did all these exams on me, and the doctor determined after everything was said and done that I cannot have children. And I went with your mother to do this procedure, and what your mother says is correct. So now no longer do we have just the mother who is not Neman. Now it's the father is making the same statement. Do we believe the father? Oh, so now we're getting into trouble. Because we have a post that says, ki ben hasenua yakir. A father is believed. Now, here comes some of very interesting issues. There's a very big difference between being believed for dinei memoinos, mamoin, versus iser. When the Torah says, ki ben hasenua yakir, that's money matters. That's a shayla of choshen mishpat. Okay? Money is always much easier to deal with because money, you can be mafkir, bezin can be mafkir, but does the Torah really give the father ne'emanus, trustworthiness, when it comes to isur, prohibition, the davar shebe isur, aid echad ne'eman bi isurin, when it affects someone else? Is the father believed in this case? So again, I don't have for you a definite answer because the truth is every little piece of the puzzle is a machlokes.
Right.
Everything there's no every single situation. Basically, what it all comes down to at the very end of the day is tseref, a sniff. At the end of the day, that's why you need to go to a real posek because every single little issue by itself is not conclusive. But when you combine together multiple factors, then that's how dayanim are trained. That there's a certain formula. There's a certain technique of combining together multiple issues where the result is different than if you would judge it on individual merits one at a time. But we're adding different factors here. So the father says it's true. So the question over here is the Torah gives the father a much, much more power of ne'amonus. Yakir. But here it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of an iser, a prohibition for a Kohen to marry a Giyores, there is a chazaka. This person, let's say, for 20 years, there is a presumption that he is a Kohen. He gets the first aliyah. How did the father allow this? Exactly what Mr. Merula says. So someone said, how did the father allow his child to get up every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, and make a bracha levatola, and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokim Melech HaMasher, Kedushanu B'Kedushosoy Shel Aaron. How does the father allow this? How does he allow him to get the first aliyah? These are serious averas. This deception. Doesn't it bother the father, this deception? The very fact that the father allowed this for 20 years is. I know there's a rule. Ain Adam. What? The father is a Kohen.
He's
a real Kohen. Ain Adam. Ain Adam. Mason Atzmai Rasha. Okay, that's a very powerful presumption. So you'll say, no, that's for yourself. When it comes to your children, you don't care. When it comes to, that's another, all of these principles is you care about yourself. You don't care so much about someone else, even your own child. Ain other mesim atzmai rasha. I would never make a bracha levatola. I realize the severity. But the kid doesn't know what he's doing. It's an oinus.
The first bracha on the Torah is not such a big thing, is it?
It's not. Making of the bracha of a kohen is not it. Duchening is a very serious matter. Yes. Duchening is a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter. It's more than just that. It's deception. The whole thing is a deception. You're not a kohen. You're not a kohen. You're going to go, the Mashiach will come, you're going to bring korbanos, you're a kohen. You're not a kohen. It's a very ugly thing to make believe you are what you're not. Everyone could appreciate that. But how does the father live with himself? Even if he's not such a religious person. In this case, it seems like very religious. How do you live with yourself, deceiving the world, deceiving your children, your own children, making them who they're not? The fact that the father did so is an indication that, you know, you really are my child. Okay, then Rav Meir brought up another very powerful point.
People do crazy things.
Yeah.
They say, how could he? He was trying to protect his
child. I know all about it. Everyone knows all about it. You're right. You can legitimize anything. It happens. Another, Meir pointed out another very big issue, which indeed it says over here, this doc. Did this man live with his wife during this period of time? The assumption is yes. So maybe he really is his child. Just because the doctors did exams and they told you A, B, C, D. You know, doctors have been wrong many times. You need now to get into this. You have to know the details, right? This type of argument, you can't really talk about unless you really know. Maybe the father wasn't with her during this time. Maybe the type of evidence, the type of situation that was discovered is just, no, there's no room for error. But maybe not. Maybe there is a possibility that indeed, doctors could be wrong. And when you're dealing with halacha, halacha is very generous. Halacha, you have to remember, halacha does not follow reality. Halacha has a world, has a set of rules on its own, which are not always in sync with the world of reality. If there is a possibility, a statistical possibility in this world that the doctors were wrong, take people in this situation, go study the science. Again, you need all the details to even talk about this, but study the science. Take people like this person in exactly his situation. It must have been repeated all over the world thousands of times. Are there cases where the doctors had a diagnosis based upon evidence exactly like this person, yet there are people that still had children?
Yes.
And if you're going to find, yeah, one or two times it happened, person had the exact same test results, bidiyuk, exactly the same, and yet somehow a year later he had a child. Oh, so there's a possibility. And he was with his wife. Even though she did the procedure, who knows? You don't really know. That carries weight in halacha. And therefore, we don't really know. We don't really know what the father is saying. If we should take into consideration what the father says as being believed, because
did the father say that he was a witness, or did the father say believe the mother?
You know, you're right. That's more. I don't know all the story, the details. He's not telling me every single detail. But let's just discuss it abstractly. So, if this is a tremendous chidushim, because according to what Rabbi, but Svir Eisman, what he writes here is, I mean, we're going to get to the conclusion. At the end of the day, it's not going to be good. End of the day, it's going to be a hard place.
But
let's go through the steps. The mother alone garnished. You can't marry her. Add to the mix, the father confirms. Now it's not just the mother, it's Yakir. It's true. You're not my child. You're not my child. You are a child of a goy. Your mother is Jewish. You're Jewish, but you're not a goy, and you can marry her. He paskins clear and clear as day. The child still cannot. The father's testimony would not be enough. The father is this Yakir only entitles him money. Yakir, since over here we say there's a principle, there's a chazaka. There's a presumption. There's already a presumption that you've been a kohen all these years. You've been a kohen. You now want, the father wants to undo. So you have to appreciate that the case of Yakir in the Torah is where we know nothing. We know nothing. A man shows up in town. He has in front of him two children. We can't tell them apart. And even we could tell them apart. We know nothing. You're now coming to establish for the very first time who is the Bukhar. Here is where the Torah says, Yakir, we give the father weight, power to the son of the Bukharis. This case is not a case of Yakir, because in this case, there's a presumption. The father's testimony is going against a presumption. There's a presumption that he is a Kohen. How did you, the father, allow him to be a Kohen all these years? Obviously, he is a Kohen. You now want to take your koyach of Yakir and to undo the presumption? The Torah never gave you such power. The Torah gave you power to tell us something that we do not know. Now we know what he is. We know he's a Kohen because of the Chazakah. Your power is weak in this case. Number two, how do you even know? Just because your wife went through a procedure called IVF, in vitro fertilization, it doesn't mean that it's not your child. There's another halachic principle called roiv be'ilois achar abal, and there are possibilities. We'll make that assumption for the moment now, that even people that have your diagnosis with exactly your we're making this assumption, they is father children.
But you can establish whether that father or the...
How can you establish it?
DNA
test. Oh, we're not up to that yet. We're working now with just the factors that we have in front of us. If the story would stop right here, the halacha would be this child would not be allowed to marry the Gioris. No matter how much pain he's in, no matter how much sorrow he's in from the heartbreak of not being able to marry her, it doesn't matter. Cannot marry her. He's a Kohen, continue duchening, continue getting the first aliyah, nothing changes. Even though your mother told you something, and even though your father confirmed what your mother said, and he says the same thing, it doesn't matter. Next problem. Wait a minute.
Well, why do we say Eidecha Nema Yisurin?
For yourself, not for someone else. Eidecha, which we just said, Eidecha Nema Yisurin is when it comes to yourself. You're going against the presumption. You are going against the chazak. Eidecha Nema Yisurin is a piece of meat. I have no idea if it's kosher or not. So I'm telling you it's kosher. Okay, I trust you. The meat is treif. It's packaged in a wrapper that says Purdue. It's packaged.
Rabbi Purdue.
Purdue. No, don't be deceived by the packaging. It's kosher. Is Eidecha Nema Yisurin? No. If it's shrink-wrapped in a package that has all of every simon muvok that it came that is from Purdue, non-kosher poultry, Eidecha Nema Yisurin is not going to go make this package. Trust me. It doesn't work like that. If this is okay, if this woman, if this person is under the presumption is under the presumption of being a Kohen, the father himself has no right to go take away that presumption no matter what he says. So far this Chassan Dinan is not allowed to marry the Gioris. Wait a minute. It's not just the mother and the father. We have medical records. It's not just mystery. We went to some third world country and we had this procedure done. Trust me. The mother says no, in America it's too expensive, so we went to Taiwan to have this done. And yes, that's right, we went to Taiwan. That's not the case here. The case here, they went to a local hospital, a local facility, a local center, and they call up the doctors.
Jewish doctor.
And the doctor produces medical records. It's on file. All the tests, all the medical records are on file. Oh, medical records. We're not just relying now upon, trust me, a woman is not Nema. We don't care what she says. A man is also not Nema. You're one witness. You're making up stories now. And also, by the way, in all of these, the reason there's a very great weakness in this situation is they're conflicted. They want their child to be happy. The child is heartbroken. They have an opportunity to marry off a child. All of a sudden, you wake up now. Now, when it's in your best interest, you're willing to say that what happened. Where were you until now? Over here, you do me because obviously you're conflicted. You want the child to be happy. We don't trust you. But now we have another issue on our hands. Medical records. The records don't lie. These are documents. There's Dina de Malchus Dina. No one's going to play around and forge documents.
But we just said that we know the procedure is not, it's medical records, that's all it's proving. It's not proving that the aid work you were for a
okay, so it's true. That's gonna be the weakness. But until now we had a greater weakness. Until now we can dismiss it that it never happened. Why? Until now we had a very easy way out. Mother, the Torah doesn't believe you. We don't even care what you say. You're not a person that has any ne'emonos in this case. In this, goodbye. Father, same thing. We don't believe you. You're making up stories. If there are no medical records, we don't need. I should have waited until we got to the medical records. When we came to the mother, it was very easy to dismiss. You're a person. You're a very good person in society, but in this halacha, the Torah does not give you any weight whatsoever. Father, you would think the father. We do believe the father. Yakir, not in this case. Because in this case, number one, because you we believe the father, that's right, we believe you, but not in this case. In this case, there's a presumption, there is a chazokah. You cannot go against the chazokah. When we believe you for money, mamonis, but not in the case when it comes to iser, where it's going to affect the situation. So we don't, okay, medical records. You don't have to believe the mother anymore. You don't have to believe the father anymore. Now let's look at the facts. The facts speak for themselves. This is proof. This is the smoking gun. That this child is not his father, is not a Kohen. So this is more problematic. Do we accept? So this is a very big sugya. And obviously maybe in the previous generations where there's a lot of garbage went on. There's a lot of garbage goes on today also. But today you would assume that in America things are more authentic, especially in the last number of years. You would assume with computers the records are ironclad, and you cannot deny the fact that this actually happened. We have proof that the shtoros, the documents, create a greater problem, a much greater problem. So then, as Abdov said, so then we have to come on to the fact of, still in all, who says, just because we acknowledge now the procedure was done. We acknowledge, but doesn't matter. They're married, husband and wife, Roiv Be'ila Sachar Habal. And Roiv Be'ila Sachar Habal, it can still have very well been that the baby was conceived from the father. Oh, but there are medical records. So what? So they did the procedure. We know the procedure took place. Can it be that it still happened from the father? There is a halach principle. If you want to go against this, you're going against two roiv. That's what he writes. You're going against two roivs. You're going against roiv be'ilois achar habal and against a chazokah, which is also called a roiv. And in halacha, in your mind, you may say, come on. We know the facts. We know that this kid is not from the father. They went there, fertility treatments, this and this, come on, who are you fooling over here? That's not, you see, this is the problem in many areas of halacha. Halacha does not follow reality. Halacha has a life of its own. It's hard to accept, but you see it over and over again. Over here, the mother. The mother, of course you really believe the mother in your heart. The father, you believe him in your heart. But we have a conflict. The bottom line is, there's a presumption. You have to become very cold now. Now is when halacha begins to force you to become very cold. The halacha is, the mother is not accepted. The father is also not accepted. We had to sweat a little bit more to knock out the father, but we knocked him out. Now we got to deal with another issue, medical records. That was a little bit harder. So if there is a hechatimsa, where just because you had the procedure, it can still happen that the child was born naturally, which you should know happens. When I'm reading over here, these type of things happen. The people go for fertility treatments. They go for fertility treatments, and it doesn't take, of course, a fortune of money each try. And then in between the fertility treatments, they get pregnant naturally. This happens. It's not unheard of to happen. And we're making that assumption here for the moment. Because obviously, like I told you 100 times, every single case, you really need to know the nitty-gritty details. So guess what? This fellow cannot marry the Gieris. Now, What happened next in the story? This Chassadan wasn't satisfied. So you know what he did? He took a paternity test. Now, here we get into the big sugya of paternity tests. Now this is very, very interesting, and a lot of things have changed over time. There are three types of tests you can take today to determine these type of issues. I'm not all familiar. From reading a paragraph, what does that make me? Makes me into a nothing. I know nothing, but I'm just reading just basic ideas what it says. There are blood tests, a simple blood test. Go to a laboratory, take blood from the father, from the child. It can tell you quite a bit. A lot of things they can determine just from a very simple blood test. Then there's something called a tissue test. I don't know what I'm saying over here. They don't take blood, they take tissue. That is a different type of test, which is much, much more, reveals a lot more. And then is the gold standard, DNA. DNA testing is very expensive. And it used to be, he writes over here, it used to be that when it first came out about, let's say, even 30 years ago, even more, the biggest Gedolei Yisrael dealt with this at length, and we'll discuss the halacha l'maisa. And they basically said it's pretty good in the world of halacha, but it's not, it in itself is not foolproof. At the time when DNA was presented to the Gedolei Yisrael with all of the scientific facts, the technology was not yet fully developed. And therefore it was only accepted, it was never accepted by the Gedolei Yisrael then as being an absolute foolproof. He writes here that he spoke to many of the current Gedolei Yisrael who have told him that over the last 20 years the technology has advanced to the point where it is absolute conclusive. The DNA, the person they do a DNA test, you can determine with absolute certainty, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who a person's father or mother is over the last number of years. And therefore he claims over here that in Eretz Yisrael, the Bate Dinim today in Eretz Yisrael, and they all accept DNA as basically conclusive proof. It stands on its own. You don't need to be mitzaref to DNA testing anything. Although the Gedolei Yisrael, the previous generation, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he has a list of who paskin that it itself is only not 100%. You have to have other considerations. Today it is accepted that it is absolute proof of what you're trying to determine. Now let's explain. You have to explain something
proof
carefully.
That it is the father of proof. That
right.
It
so in these
the
exactly very very good. These three things. Okay, the blood test, tissue sample, and the DNA. When the Gedolim of the previous generation paskin, they broke it down into two different categories. Couldn't you win more than two? Many categories. First of all, there's the mominus. Okay, that's one issue. And the din mominus is very relevant for paying for alimony, support, child care. In other words, it was very common Bez Neret Yisrael where a couple is divorced and a woman has a child and the woman demands from her ex-husband to pay tuition. And the husband says, he's not my child. She had an affair. We were married. She was mizana. I know as a fact, it's not my child. I'm not paying tuition. This seems like it was ma'isin b'chol yom and the bati didim in Eretz Yisrael. So what do they do? They do either a blood sample. Now the blood sample is there. The blood sample is able only to prove that it's not your father.
To eliminate.
There's a very big difference between elimination. Hmm. We can do a blood test, and the blood test will determine that this man is not. Right. So if the husband says to his wife, "You were mizana with Ploini ben Ploini. You always hung out. It's his child." And then they go and they do a blood test, which doesn't cost all that much money. DNA costs thousands of dollars. A blood test doesn't cost that much money, and the blood test shows that they're not related. That the who is the father doesn't say who the father is,
right.
But it's just, oh, So now, that means you. Once we know that he is not the father, that means Roy Beilois Achar Habal, you're the father. You must pay tuition. You have to pay. That's one type of test. But here we're dealing with trying to establish. Let's say a person is a mamzer. You want to determine that the child. It's not just that he's not my child. He is this person's child, which makes him into a mamzer. Okay, there are different issues. There are different, like, a cholo. If you don't know, there's a very, very interesting halach people do not know. If a woman is a single woman, this is very important, a woman who's a single woman, and she has relations with a man, let's say with ten kohanim. There are 10 kohanim, and a woman has relations with one of the 10 kohanim, with all of them. And there's a child. And we have no way of knowing who the father is. All we know as a fact is that all of the 10 men are kohanim. Is the kohen allowed to do avod, allowed to duchen? Is this child allowed to receive truma, hold the whole works? We are absolutely certain that the father is a kohen. And he's not a mamzer, because this woman was a single woman, she was not married. What is the halacha? He's a cholo. It's a very big chiddush in the world of halacha. That's the halacha. In order for a kohen to be accepted to be a kohen, he has to be able to identify, you are my father. If you cannot identify who your father is, even if you are absolutely certain that it's a kohen, because there are 10 kohanim, it's even there are 2 kohanim. There's a case, where a woman has relations with a person and with a kohen, and 3 months later she marries and has a child 6 months later. So the question is the child 9 months from the first kohen, from the first man that she had before she got married, or is it 6 months with the second, with the husband? And there's no way to know. The child is not a kohen. In order for a child to serve as a kohen, he must be able to identify exactly who his father is. A blood sample may reveal that this man is not my father. So that might, in that case, it might be, okay, you have to go through every single case, all different cases. But if you want to make a determination, who is the father? So the blood test is not, certainly not, that's not going to help you. The only one that can really do so would be the DNA test, and some say the tissue test also might be able to do so. It's also pretty very accurate. The tissue sample also may be able to determine who the person is. Years ago, it was not accepted, but he writes here that today, the Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael, this is what he writes. Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, who I believe passed away not that long ago, he paskin that today it is accepted. As a matter of fact, it's strong enough to make the determination who your father is 100%. It's a whole new league today. And even the Gedolim of the previous generation would admit that today things have changed and there's nothing to discuss. Now this fellow here, he went and he took a DNA test. And indeed, the DNA test proved that his father was the one, the Kohen, is not his father. Okay? It was not, it's all he really needs. It was not his father. Not only did he do so, his brother did the same thing as well. So here he writes, Rabbi Reisman, that had he asked the Shiloh 20 years ago, they would have basically told him, you still can't marry. It would not be enough. He held that even though we have the mother, the father, the medical records, and now a DNA test, he says that if you would ask the Shiloh 20 years ago, they would paskin he is not allowed to marry the Geirus, also. Because there's still a presumption that he is a Kohen. That he is a Kohen. He's still a Kohen, because the father is a Kohen. There's still a presumption. You want to go, the mother is out, the father is out, the medical records are not strong enough. You want to go tell me that you had a DNA test? Well, 20 years ago, the DNA test is not enough to determine ad kedei kach, to undo the roiv be'ilei sachar abal and the fact that he's been practicing as a kohen all of these years. Today, go today to a laboratory and have the DNA test taken, and it says that this man is not your father, he can marry her. Not only can he marry her, he must immediately stop duchening and make him believe that he is a kohen. The DNA test is so strong today, but he's here. One thing is, you have to be concerned that, you know, the results from the lab, maybe, you know, you'll hear stories, fake false positives. You've heard the last 2 years, there's always talk about, you know, false positives in the news. There are scandals where some of the laboratories, they deliberately manipulate the results, they get more money, there are stories. There's always strange people out there that have this pleasure in deceiving you. So he writes, Lahalacha, in these situations, you have to do a test in two completely independent labs. In order, when it comes to these matters, it is not sufficient in these type of situations to go to one laboratory. You have to go to two laboratories that have absolutely nothing to do with one another and do exactly the same test. And the two tests have to be the same, corroborate with one another, that the results are the same, that what the situation is. So then he says something very interesting. And he says, Are you mechuyev? Let's say it'll be the other way around. Let's say, this case over here, you have to come up with a case it'll be the other way around. In this case, this person...
You didn't want to be a kohen.
You don't want to be a kohen. You want to preserve, let's say for whatever the reason is, you want to preserve the status quo. And by taking the test, you may indeed discover the opposite. Are you mechuyev to go take the test?
No,
you're not. So what you don't know is good for you. That's another very controversial, interesting concept in halacha. Just because you can find out, It doesn't mean you should. If until now you're operating your kohen, in this case, the only reason why I know is look at the brother. This is what makes this case extremely complicated. Look at the brother. In this situation, there were two brothers. So after the first brother found out what's going on, he took a test, and so did his brother. Who asked him? Who asked the brother to take a test? It wasn't necessary. If the brother wasn't dating, the brother didn't meet a giyores, let's say make believe the brother was already married. He already got married. He married a regular woman who was not a Yisraelis, so not a giyores. He's already married. For him taking the test, everything we said until now, according to Rabbi Reisman, it seems like everything he's saying, he has everyone is supporting him. He brings down all of these opinions. In this situation, he's a kohen. The mother can say all she wants. The father can say all she wants. They can put online the medical records all they want. Who cares? The world of halacha follows its own set of rules, and there's a chazaka of being a kohen. There's a principle called roi bil sachar abal. You're a kohen. Just continue down your merry way. You want now to be oiker, your kahuna, by taking a DNA test. And then today in the 21st century, it's considered to be ironclad. It's considered to be absolutely correct.
That's what I was thinking.
Who cares? Who says? Who says are you obligated to do so? And if you do so today, because we accept it to be conclusive, then you're going to become an ois kohen.
Because you make your kids ois kohen.
You make everyone ois kohen, yeah. Are you even believers? Are you obligated to do that?
No.
No, that's what he said, no. But then the result is very bizarre.
Right.
The result is one brother is married to a giyores because he wanted to marry her. I want to marry her. I don't want to be a kohen. I want to marry her. I don't want to be a kohen. So I'm going to take the test. And the test has proven to me that I'm not a kohen. And the other brother wants to be a kohen, so he doesn't take the test. And he relies upon the chazaka and roi bila sachar habal and the fact that we don't believe what what the mother says and what the father says. That's what the result. You have one family, one brother is a kohen, and one brother is not a kohen.
The one's adopted, so big deal.
So, and yet it works, because that's the world of halacha. That's the world of halacha. So it's really fascinating how all of these things come together in these very, you know, we live in a world of technology.
But we started off there, Rav Moshe went ahead with the wedding.
Because the mother was not believed. What was the case of Rav Moshe? The case of Rav Moshe, was...
Well, all the other things, well, we should say that she's the chazak and this, this.
Well, in the case of Rav Moshe, there was nothing else to
do. Rav was believing the mother.
No, he was not believing the mother. The case of Rav Moshe was, there was a boy and girl about to get married. And the mother whispered to Rav Moshe right before the chuppah that the boy, the chassan, is a mamzer.
It was a mamzer.
So Rav Moshe says, I don't believe you. So today, think about it today. Today, if this would happen to a rabbi today, the mother would say to the rav under the chuppah, the child is a mamzer. Would the rabbi proceed? I don't think so today. Why not? At the time of Rav Moshe, there was no DNA testing. And if there was DNA testing, it was in its infancy. Today, what would a rabbi say in his mind? Listen, even though according to Rav Moshe, the halacha, you don't believe the mother, you don't believe her, you don't believe her. That's the halacha. But we know what's going to happen. At some point in time, he's going to take a DNA test. In the time of Rav Moshe, there was no DNA test. So you're telling me something. I don't believe you. A woman is not neman. That's the halacha. So therefore, proceed with the marriage. Today he's saying that DNA, according to what he's writing, of Zalman Nehemiah Goldberg, plus a whole host of other poskim, say that things have changed in the last 20 years. And although Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and other gedolim of the previous generation have paskim that DNA in and of itself is not enough, it is a contributing factor to a difficult halachic dilemma, which every poskim has their right to balance. You want to go take arguments, each one by themselves would not be sufficient, but when you combine a collection of them, it would add up to a package where you make a decision. That has changed in 20 years, where DNA is absolute. That's what he writes.
But in that case, the husband wouldn't have to go take a DNA.
Oh, so
he won't take it. I don't mean to me.
Do you know, tell me, what happened? Not so simple. Today, you don't know how people's minds work. Yeah. You don't. The Rashidis, you don't know their Talmidim. You're Messiah, their Kedushin. You know the person that's never going to go take a DNA test. This is the type of guy that he can't. He's going to go take it. You know, there are certain types of people, they can't live with themselves until they know every little detail of what's going on. So here, a guy, he's about to get married. He can get married. Because right now, at this moment in time, the only evidence that we have is what the mother says. The mother, we don't believe the mother. But you know that the mother has just opened up a nightmare. And since in today's day and age, in the 21st century, it's efshar levarure, it is possible to clarify. And if this person would go take that DNA test to determine, you know, you don't even need a DNA test, you just need a blood test to determine that his father is not his father, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. Now, just to conclude very quickly, he summarizes in a fascinating way all the laws of DNA with all the different types of situations. Now, 9/11, DNA is always relied upon to determine, let's say, DNA to determine who the person is. There are different types of DNA. There's DNA to determine your father and mother. Who are you? Who is your father? That is one type of question which he says that today is really 100%. But all along, no matter from the very beginning, DNA was always enough to determine that it's you. Lamashal, 9/11. Person dies, a couple of months later, they find something which is completely has decayed. But they took his toothbrush from his home and they were able to extract a cell and they're able to compare what's in his toothbrush to the body that they found. That DNA is conclusive to determine that he died. Now listen to this, what he writes over here. No, he says not. It's determined that if only for money, for the wife to be an aguna, this is how they pass. This is a real case. In 9/11, there was a bez in the lake where the person, I think, died actually. The person who passed was a very tremendous Talmud Chacham. They wrote him up. He was one of the biggest good poskim. I forgot everything. He was in the Lakewood. He was the one who wrote the psak, and the psak was rubber stamped by the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. It's probably the last. It was probably not only him there. I think there were other people. It's probably the last time in Jewish history where a psak on this caliber was decided in America. when Rav Moshe led the way, Rav Moshe was the Pesach for the whole world. After Rav Moshe passed away, to a very large degree, Piskei Halacha went to Eretz Yisrael. 9/11, not so long ago, this was a major psak. I don't remember when he died, not that long ago. He wrote the psak.
Gissinger.
Who?
Gissinger.
Who?
Gissinger.
Gissinger?
Oh, you're saying he was lifted a few years ago.
Yeah, it could be with him. In Lakewood, and in Eretz Yisrael, they rubber stamped it. It was his psak. And he passed, and the DNA was not enough. If the only thing you have is from the toothbrush, and you find the body, it's only good for money. It's only a simon that Yerusha for Dinei Mamonis. And if he's a single person, he has no children, you can sit Shiva. But if he's married, Aguna, she should not, there should be no Shiva, because then the people are going to think that the Almana can remarry. It's not enough to allow DNA, even to determine the person himself, was not enough to allow the Almana to remarry. The only reason why it was mutter was because he made a phone call. Legalized, he made a phone call.
Okay.
Two things together. All, that's what he's asking. If not for the phone call, if not for the phone call he made, could you imagine such a horror? You would maybe have to go search for other circumstantial evidence. Video of him going into the building, some he logged in, people, some type of circumstantial evidence. If not for the phone call that he made, just the fact that they have a DNA match to remains of his body, the Almana would not be allowed to remarry.
But then they found the remains of his body.
What?
They didn't.
They can identify
them.
They didn't find his body. They don't tell you what they found. And there are some very horror stories of what they put in these coffins. Okay? They didn't tell you what they found. Could be they found mamish, No one knows what they found. There are rumors, not by him, by other people, by Goyim, that they had these funerals and there was a very elaborate coffin. And what was in the coffin?
Cell.
Nothing. They found mamish, nothing. Even that. Those are the rumors going on out there. They couldn't get away with this with from people. They found something. Whatever they found would never hold up as a simon that this is the person from recognition. It was based on DNA. That's what they're telling us. I don't know if it's true.
The Shiva one, they found it
though. Why? Why were they allowed to say Shiva? Is DNA enough? Well, he says now it is enough. Technology has advanced where it would be enough today, Hayoyim. But when this was happened 20 years ago, it was not enough. And the only reason why it was enough to let her remarry, to sit Shiva, to let Aguna, is there had to be something else. And the fact that he made a phone call and said that he's dying, the building is going down, that together was sufficient. Again, he claims, or Reisman, the big thick book over here is, and not anymore, today already it has reached such a level where it's matir. It's good for Isurim, not just for money. And not only is it good for the difference between yourself to identify a person versus making a change in status to a child and a father, connecting two generations, a child and a father, when it comes to Kahuna, Mamzerus, for bad and for good. And we start in the beginning. There's identifying a person for the good, something positive, and then there's identifying a person to take him down against the Chazaka, which is much more severe. All right, we'll stop over here, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Very interesting, Shikai.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah,
very good. Very, very interesting. Well,
today is the yard site of the Kamarna.
Kamarna.
Shulchan Atah. You wrote a piece of Shulchan Atah based on the
Be well.
Mari put on a couple of
good story.
Yeah.
Mari, Pranakov, he discusses the Beagle Eisen case?
Yeah, he doesn't say his name, but he's referring to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't say his name, he's referring to him, obviously. The one
you know, the story is that the Belzer Rebbe was involved.
Yeah.
His the father.
Yeah.
Right away called
Belzer. They were Belzers.
Right. And the Belzer made them put away. He said, get a Bezden now. So the Bezden had all the witnesses hot right off the phone. They were able to see that the phone disconnected at the same time. Because how do you know where it's going? So they were able to get those facts. The DNA came 6 months later. It was Pesach. How am I Pesach? They had
all the right away.
No! It's Pesach.
Right, but they didn't sit there.
It's Pesach, they sat for one day.
What did the Belzer Rebbe do? Why don't they?
He was Matad Aguna before they even had the DNA.
Yeah. He says not.
They were Matad Aguna.
They were Matad Aguna.
The Belzer Rebbe.
They didn't sit Shiva.
They didn't sit Shiva, but the Belzer Rebbe was got a Bezin together to say that they had another evidence that he.
So why didn't it sit Shiva?
Because when there's no body, you don't sit Shiva until you find a piece of the body. Nothing to do with it. You can, if someone's lost in the yam, you know he's dead, he's never going to come out.
It's a shiva.
You don't say shiva until
you say shiva.
All right.
As soon as you know.
No, if you know that they swept away.
But they said shiva when they found the priest.
I think they said shiva before they found the priest.
One day they sat when they found the
priest. I remember.
No, then they sat again because they were burying something.
Right.
But they originally sat shiva. As soon as the bells were ever said
right.
to them, It's over.
Okay.
That's all he says over there.
Okay.
Tamari, put it down. Tamari, who is this?
But she got remarried.
Baruch Hashem.
She did?